John Brown Day 2012 will be celebrated at John Brown Farm State Historic Site in Lake Placid, New York, on Saturday, May 5th, from 2 to 4 p.m. The day will include a keynote by Kenneth Morris, direct descendant of Frederick Douglass, and the name of the talk is Brown and Douglass, A Friendship, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Kenneth Morris, executive director of the Frederick Douglass Family Foundation, as our guest this morning on the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Joe.
When you go out and you speak, especially on days like this, what is the message that you want to get out?
Well, because I descend from two of this country's greatest heroes, Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington, I like to spread the message that history lives in each of us. It doesn't just live in me because I descend from two people that are famous that we've heard of, but each and every one of us descends from somebody that made a difference in this great country of ours, that sacrificed so much and may have even given of their lives just for the freedoms that we enjoy, and for some of us, just for the right to sit in a classroom and get an education. And I would hope that I would be able to inspire the audience to look at the legacies of Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington and really grab onto those as tangible examples of being able to overcome obstacles, because, of course, Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington were born slaves, and they were able to overcome insurmountable obstacles to rise up to affect the lives of so many people. And I think that those are examples that we can grab onto in our lives to know that we also can overcome challenges and obstacles and go on to affect the lives of those around us, and in doing so, affect the lives of many.
John Brown Day is being commemorated at John Brown Farm State Historic Site in Lake Placid. You're going to be talking about the friendship between these two men. What is so interesting in your mind about the friendship between Douglass and Brown?
Well, their first meeting took place in around 1848, 1847 or 1848, and they had a brief meeting, and then after that they met again right before John Brown was going to attack Harper's Ferry. And I think what I find most interesting about that meeting is that John Brown was trying to talk Frederick Douglass into joining him. And Douglass, of course, thought that this was not a good idea, that he would be walking into a trap, and that it was unlikely that he and his the people that went with him would be able to escape from that. And, of course, we know our history, and they were not able to do that. So I think that it's an interesting friendship. I'm learning more and more about it in preparation for this speech. Of course, descending from Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington, when I go out to speak to groups, that's what I talk about most, and that's where my expertise lies. But as I'm researching the relationship, I find it very interesting, and I'm looking forward to delivering my remarks on Saturday.
One of the things I find fascinating about this is that Douglass had become, by the time that they met, Douglass had become one of the most eloquent and sought-after champions of freedom and equal suffrage for women and men, regardless of race. So he was very popular, very sought after. And so this meeting came of two people of marquee names, if you will.
Well, Douglass at that time had been about 10 years removed from slavery, and he escaped from slavery in 1838. And the significance of Douglass at that time was that he was asked by William Lloyd Garrison to get up and tell his story at an anti-slavery meeting. And Douglass stood up, and he was so eloquent, and he was charismatic, and he was theatrical in his delivery. And the way that he was able to communicate the inhumanity of slavery was very different than any fugitive slave had done before his time. And so he would start to tell his story on the anti-slavery speaking tour. And what happened was people started to not believe that he had ever been a slave. They said there's no way that this man could have ever been a slave, the way that he speaks and he communicates. So what he did was he wrote his first autobiography, The Narrative, which was published in 1845, to prove that he had been a slave, because in it he named names and then he named places. And the problem with that was it became a bestseller. At the time, he was still a fugitive slave, and that's probably the last thing that you want, is the notoriety of a best-selling book when you're running away from your master. So he would flee to Europe for a cooling off period for a couple of years, and he befriended some people over there that were so impressed with this fugitive slave that they pulled their money together and purchased his freedom from his master for $711, and that he would return back to the United States. And then, of course, a few years after that, he would make his first meeting with John Brown.
As I mentioned in the introduction, you're founder and president of the Frederick Douglass Family Foundation. You will also on Saturday discuss the foundation's work today to create a modern abolitionist movement in schools all over the country through the vehicle of service learning. How does that come about? How have you seen that manifest itself?
Well, I've always known that I've descended from these great men, and when I was younger, I really took it for granted. The few times that I did tell people of my relationship, nobody ever believed me, and I never thought that it was a point worth arguing. And there was a lot of pressure that was put on the males in the family to be the next Frederick Douglass and to be the next Booker T. Washington. And I really found myself running away from these legacies my whole life. And I was a successful businessman in the marketing and advertising world for about 20 years. And then about 5 years ago, a friend of mine handed me a National Geographic magazine, and the cover story was 21st Century Slaves. And I looked at that headline, and I reacted, as I think most people do when they find out for the first time about the existence of human trafficking and modern-day slavery. And I thought slavery had ended. I thought it had ended with the work of Frederick Douglass and the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation and the work that the abolitionists did. But as I started to research the issue, and I found that slavery still existed in every civilized and uncivilized country around the world, including here in the United States, and that it affected mostly women and children. And I have two daughters, and at the time they were 12 and 9 years old. And when I found that there were girls that were my daughters' ages and even younger that were forced to be sex slaves in the brothels of Southeast Asia, and that sex slavery existed here in the United States, I had this moment of clarity that I realized that I couldn't look my girls in the eyes and walk away from this without doing anything. So my mom and I, Nettie Washington Douglass, who, by the way, is the person that brought the bloodlines together of the two families, we started the Frederick Douglass Family Foundation, and our mission is to raise awareness about human trafficking and modern-day slavery. And the way that we go about educating the public is where I think education should start, and that's with young people. So what we've developed is a service learning program, and for your listeners who might not be familiar with that term, service learning is curriculum that we take into middle schools and high schools around the country, and we go in, the learning part is we talk about the history of slavery in this country, the abolitionists, how they went about abolishing slavery, and then we transition into this modern-day human rights issue and that we need modern-day abolitionists to communicate the inhumanity of today's slavery to their communities. So the students work on projects in their communities that are all geared around raising awareness, and that's the service part. So they get volunteer hours that they can use on college resumes and future job applications. And we found that to be a very effective teaching tool because we're mostly targeting schools that are in economically challenged areas where young girls are vulnerable to becoming victims of sex trafficking because the average age that a girl is forced into prostitution in this country is 13 years old. So we're talking to girls that are 11, 12, and 13 years old, and we're talking to boys about demand and their attitudes towards women and the future choices they make. If they make wrong choices, how it feeds into demand. And then by working on these community service projects, it empowers our young people, and it's lifting them up. And two of my favorite quotes that I love, Frederick Douglass said, "It's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men." And our programs are building strong children. Booker T. Washington said, if you want to lift yourself up, lift up someone else. And our young people are empowering themselves, and they're working on an issue that is greater than they are, and they're lifting themselves up. So that's what we're doing in schools, and I think that we're making a difference.
Kenneth Morris will be delivering the keynote address, Brown and Douglass, A Friendship and Enduring Legacy, on Saturday, May 5th. The event takes place as part of John Brown Day 2012 at the John Brown Farm State Historic Site in Lake Placid, New York, again 2 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, the 5th of May. Kenneth Morris, I thank you very much for being with us, and best of luck on Saturday. Sounds like a wonderful event.
Thank you. thank you so much for having me on, Joe.
A great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, John Brown Day 2012 will be celebrated May 5th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the John Brown Farm State Historic Site in Lake Placid, New York. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.